following is a recording for Melanie Carpenter of iAdvise on Thursday, February 16th, 2017 at 8 a.m. Central Time. This is the IFS fourth quarter 2016 conference call. Good morning and welcome to Interport Financial Services fourth quarter 2016 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Bora of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Katie, and good morning, everyone. On today's call, Interport Financial Services will discuss its fourth quarter 2016 earnings. We are very pleased to have with us Mr. Luis Felipe Castellanos, Chief Executive Officer of Interport Financial Services, Mrs. Miquela Casaza, Chief Financial Officer of Interport Financial Services, Mr. Gonzalo Basadre, Chief Executive Officer of Interseguro, Mr. Juan Pablo Segura, Chief Financial Officer of Interseguro, Mr. Reinaldo Rosendit, Chief Executive Officer of Inteligo Group, and Mrs. Claudia Valdivia, Chief Financial Officer of Inteligo Group. They will be discussing the results that were distributed last Tuesday. There is also a presentation to accompany these results. If you didn't receive a copy of the presentation or the earnings, it is now available on the company's website, ifs.com.pe, to download a copy. Otherwise, for any reason, if you need any assistance today, please call iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693. I would like to remind you that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Castellanos, Intercorp's Chief Executive Officer, for his opening remarks. Mr. Castellanos, please go ahead.
Okay, thanks everybody. Thanks for joining our call to review 4Q 2016 results. As you can see, we have a big team ready to answer all your questions. Yesterday, official GDP numbers came out for 2016. GDP growth for the country was 3.9%. On the positive side, we have to say that this is the highest number reported for the last 3 years. This figure was mainly supported by the recovery of the mining industry. On the not so good side, we did not see a recovery of internal demand. We had expected this could happen in the second half of last year after the elections, but has not been the case. So the composition supporting GDP growth has not led to economic activity strongly picking up. As a result, the financial system had one of the lowest growth numbers in recent years, both for loans, retail and commercial, and in deposits. It is worth to mention that given the slow activity, the PDL ratio for the system continued to increase to one of the highest levels during the last years. Having said that, the banking system in Peru remains solid, profitable, and well capitalized. Under that scenario, 2016 was another good year for Interbank. We were able to maintain or slightly gain market share in loans and deposits, while leading the system in ROE and being well provisioned and capitalized. We did see a strong increase in provisions, particularly due to the deterioration of the credit card and consumer loans book, but managed through efficient cost control to maintain good net income levels, despite the significant reduction in FX activity compared to 2015 that resulted in lower income and results from financial operations. On another front, Interbank was recognized among the most admired companies in Peru once again, named as Bank of the Year by the Banker for a second consecutive year, and achieved the number one position in the Great Place to Work ranking for large companies in Peru. A word on Interseguro. Interseguro was able to manage a tough year after an important change in regulation that affected the retirement annuity business. The company's management has been able to successfully launch new products, diversify into new segments, and resume growth in community business with a clear focus on efficiency and cost control. With assets under management north of $5.4 billion and undisputed leadership in retirement annuities, it is well positioned to take advantage of the opportunities lying ahead of the life insurance industry in Peru. Inteligo had a very solid, profitable year, achieving record recurring earnings with a strong activity growth. The rationale for including Inteligo a couple years ago into the IFS platform has proven to be as good as we expected, providing IFS with more earnings diversification, strong fee income, and a very profitable and efficient operation. It is worth to mention that both companies, Interseguro and Inteligo, were also included in the honor roll of the Great Place to Work ranking in Peru, a testament of how important culture and working environment are for IFS as a base to achieve solid and sustainable results. Finally, some words on the outlook for 2017. We expect GDP growth to be around 3 or 4%, but with a mix where internal consumption should play a more important role given the expected recovery, thus benefiting our businesses. The government is actively working for this to happen. However, we're currently facing many factors that could change the numbers, including the potential effect of an unexpected El Niño phenomenon, the impact, development, and aftermath of the corruption scandal affecting the country that could delay much-needed public or private investment. Nevertheless, we remain positive on a better year for Peru in 2017. Our IFS platform stands ready to take advantage of the opportunities ahead of us in a country with deep underpenetration of financial services. Now, let me pass it on to Michela, our CFO, for her presentation.
Good morning, everybody. I would like to continue by giving you a brief summary of the key indicators of the 2016 yearly performance of IFS and its subsidiaries before entering into the quarterly performance. Please have a look at pages number 2 and 3 of the presentation. IFS profits for 2016 full year were 834 million soles, a 33% decrease versus previous year, or 6% decrease when excluding the impact of discount rates on the calculation of technical reserves at Interseguro. Some of the factors that negatively impacted IFS 2016 results, and which we have discussed in previous quarters, and which Luis Felipe previously mentioned, were, first, low growth in loans at Interbank of 4.5% due to a low growth in the Peruvian financial system of roughly 3.5%. Second, lower FX gains at Interbank of roughly 200 million soles versus previous year. FX gains decreased more than 1 billion soles at system level in 2016, after having increased even a bigger number during 2015. Third, higher requirements of technical reserves at Interseguro due to a lower discount rate on annuities. During 2016, this impact was negative at 120 million soles, while in year 2015, this impact was positive at 226 million soles. Fourth, loss on sale of some investments related to Brazil and Interseguro for around 70 million. And last, the new private pension funds law, which limited the growth of premiums in the annuity market in Interseguro. For the full year 2016, the return on adjusted equity was 17.4%, or 19.8% when excluding discount rate impact. At Interbank, during 2016, we've maintained a strong capitalization and funding structure with stable profits despite lower loan growth and FX activity. Excluding extraordinary FX gains registered in 2016, profits would have increased 10% year-on-year. Interbank had a 9.9% year-on-year growth in retail deposits, which led to a 60 basis points gain in market share. PDL ratio remained stable at 2.6%, remaining below the system average of 2.8% as of December 2016. And cost of risk in IFRS figures reached 3.0% due to loan mix with the impact on consumer and mild credit growth. At Interseguro, results affected by annuity market dynamics and accounting, as well as some sale on investments. Premiums growth accelerated in the last quarter of the year as Interseguro continued to gain market share and the annuity market stabilized after the regulatory changes, however, still lower year-on-year. And Interseguro had a strong double-digit annual growth of the investment portfolio. At Inteligo, 2016 was a very good year in terms of results, revenues, efficiency, and profitability. There was a 12.7% annual growth in asset under management plus deposits. There was a solid growth on the investment portfolio, which drove annual revenues up 17.4% year-on-year, and the full-year net profit increased 62% year-on-year. Now, let me start the discussion of the quarterly performance by referring to pages 5 and 6 of the presentation. IFS fourth quarter 2016 net profit improved substantially with an increase of 85% quarter on quarter and 75% year on year. Net interest and similar income increased 2.8% on a quarterly basis and 3.6% on a yearly basis, while fee income from financial services increased 1.1% and 3.1% respectively. NIM decreased 10 basis points on a quarterly basis down to 5.6%, but NIM on loans at Interbank improved 10 basis points to 10%. PDLs at IFS remained flat on a quarterly basis at 2.5%, and cost of risk increased 20 basis points to 2.8%, mainly due to increases in commercial banking. The efficiency ratio remained relatively stable at 40% when excluding the positive impact of discount rates on technical reserves at Interseguro. Capitalization ratio for Interbank remains strong at 15.9% and the core equity tier 1 ratio at 9.3%. Please turn to the following page for a brief overview of the quarterly net earnings of IFS 3 segments. On page 8, at Interbank, before entering into the details of Interbank results, we'd like to give you a short update of the banking industry trends in 2016. As previously mentioned, there was a slowdown in loan growth with 3.5% of the year-end figure for total loans, and retail loans growing 5% and commercial loans growing only 2.6% at system level. And results from financial operations coming from FX transactions decreased more than 1 billion soles in 2016 when compared to 2015. Within this scenario, Interbank's profit reached 223.7 million in the fourth quarter, an increase of 1% quarter on quarter and 1.7% year on year, and its return on adjusted equity was 21.1% in the fourth quarter. NIM decreased 20 basis points in this quarter at Interbank, but NIM on loans improved 10 basis points to 10%, continuing the positive trend registered also in the past quarter. On page number 9, performing loans grew only 0.5% on a quarterly basis due to an increase of 1.7% in commercial loans, which was partially offset by a decrease of 0.5% in retail loans. The decrease in retail loans is mainly due to a 2.5% decrease in credit card loans, as we have continued to tighten our credit underwriting standards in some specific subsegments of clients, given the economy performance. Growth in commercial loans was mainly due to increases in short and medium-term lending within the corporate and middle market businesses, partially offset by a decrease in leasing operations. Our market share on total loans decreased 10 basis points quarter on quarter, but remained flat year on year. On page 10, 2016 and the last quarter of it have been very good in terms of funding and deposits for Interbank, allowing us to gain 50 basis point market share in total deposits on a yearly basis and 60 basis points in retail deposits. This has allowed us to reduce our usage of central bank dollar funding and to contain the increase in cost of funds coming from the de-dollarization of assets and liability of the financial system. The quarterly growth in deposits was 5.4%, mainly explained by increases of 4.2% in retail deposits and 6.2% in commercial deposits. Average cost of funds decreased 20 basis points quarter on quarter and increased only 10 basis points year on year, currently at 2.8%. On page 11, when looking at SDS comparable figures to the system, Interbank's past due loan ratio remained flat at 2.6% in the fourth quarter. The coverage ratio increased to 180%. The same trends are valid for the IFRS PDL figures. When looking at the PDL breakdown, we can see within retail that the overall consumer credit PDL has increased 30 basis points quarter on quarter to 3.6% and remains in line with the system average. Credit card PDL increased 60 basis points to 5%, slightly above the system average of 4.8%, and this was mainly due to the decrease in volumes registered in the quarter of 2.5%, as previously mentioned. Within the commercial portfolio, PDLs improved in both medium and small and micro companies and remained well below the system average. The annualized ratio of provision expense to average loans has increased 10 basis points to 2.9% in the fourth quarter. This ratio remains above the system average of 2.0%, mainly due to the mix of the portfolio with a higher incidence of retail and credit cards when compared to the system and to the other big three banks. Normalizing the effect of our portfolio mix, our ratio will be at 2.1%, slightly above the system average. When looking at IFRS cost of risk figures, the increase in the ratio is 20 basis points, reaching 3%, mainly due to higher provision requirements in IFRS versus local debt. On page 14, Interbank's capital ratio was 15.9%, 400 basis points above its risk-adjusted minimum capital ratio requirement, which is established at 11.9% and above the system average of 15%. Core equity tier 1 ratio was 9.3% as of December 2016. Please turn to the following page to start with Interseguro's results discussion. On page 17, Interseguro's net result in the fourth quarter was 131.6 million, which compares to a loss of 54 million in the third quarter and 3.6 million in the fourth quarter of the previous year. Interseguro's profit, excluding discount rate impacts on technical reserves, increased by 4.6 million quarter on quarter and 2.9 million year on year. The quarterly improvement in bottom line reported results was mainly explained by a 169.3 million decrease in adjustment of technical reserves, a 19.2 million positive effect attributed to book value adjustments on previously impaired instruments, given the sale of such securities, coupled with a 13.2 million increase in translation results and 5.7 million increase in net interest and similar income. The yearly improvement in profits was supported by a 110.5 million increase in total premiums earned less claims and benefits, in addition to a 35.7 million positive effect attributed to book value adjustment of previously impaired instruments, given the sale of such securities. On page 18, you can see a comparison with local GAAP results. Interseguro's net profit attributable to shareholders in the fourth quarter was 131.6 million under IFRS and 18.8 million under local GAAP. The main differences between the IFRS and the local GAAP profits are as follows. First, a lower adjustment of technical reserves under IFRS as a result of the impact of the volatility of the discount rate to calculate technical reserves affecting the total stock of technical reserves. Second, a lower result in impairment loss on available for sale investments, as under IFRS, the book value of impaired security is adjusted to realize the gain when sold. Third, and higher net gain on valuation of real estate investment under IFRS as a result of the use of different risk-free rates to calculate NPV of real estate investment values under DCF methodology. And fourth, a higher profit in foreign exchange as a result of different dollar stocks of assets and liabilities in IFRS when compared to local GAAP. In page 19, looking at the key indicators, we can see that net premiums in the fourth quarter were 148.9 million, an increase of 12.7 million quarter on quarter, mainly due to a 9.5 million growth in annuities and 2.7 million in retail insurance, but a decrease of 28.2 million year on year, mainly related to a market contraction in annuities due to the new law previously mentioned. Annuities market share in the fourth quarter was 23.5% and 23.3% in full year, which positioned Interseguro as the market leader. Interseguro's adjustment of technical reserves was minus 5.7 million in the fourth quarter compared to minus 151 million in the fourth quarter of the previous year and minus 163.6 million in the third quarter of 2016. The quarterly decrease was mainly due to different discount rate impacts in annuities. This rate decreased by 15 basis points in the third quarter and increased by 17 basis points in the fourth quarter. The year-on-year increase was also a result of different discount rate impacts in annuities. This rate decreased by 3 basis points in the fourth quarter of 2015 and increased by 17 basis points in the fourth quarter of 2016. Net claims and benefits incurred were 88 million in the fourth quarter, an increase of 9.3 million quarter-on-quarter and 18.1 million year-on-year. This growth were mainly due to higher annuity pensions and inheritance claims. Considering the factors previously explained, total premiums earned less claims and benefits resulted in 66 $1.7 million in the fourth quarter, an increase of $172.8 million on a quarterly basis, and of $110.5 million on a yearly basis. On page 20, in the fourth quarter, Interseguro's investment portfolio reached $5,415.6 million, an increase of 10.6% year-on-year. Results from investments in the fourth quarter were $103.9 million, which represented a 7.5% return on Interseguro's investment portfolio, below the 7.8% reported in the third quarter, but above the 6.6% registered in the fourth quarter of the previous year. The quarterly decrease was mainly explained by a decrease of $26 million in the net gain on sale of securities, partially offset by a $19.2 million positive effect attributed to book value adjustment of previously impaired instruments given the sale of such securities. The yearly increase was largely explained by a $35.7 million positive effect attributed to book value adjustments of previously impaired instruments given the sale of such securities, coupled with a $7.8 million increase in net interest and similar income as a result of a higher volume of assets. On page 22, we will start with a discussion on Inteligo Group results. As previously mentioned, Inteligo had very positive results in 2016, with a solid year in activity, revenues, efficiency, and profitability. The full year profit of Inteligo reached $171 million, a 62% increase versus 2015. In the fourth quarter, net profit decreased 20%, but registered a significant recovery year-on-year. Inteligo's net interest and similar income in the fourth quarter was $21.4 million, an 8.1% increase when compared with the third quarter of 2016. Net fee income from financial services was $30.4 million, a slight decrease of 1% when compared to the previous quarter, but an increase of 30.5% when compared with the same quarter of the previous year. On page 23, we can have a look at the key performance indicators, with assets under management plus deposits reaching $14,864 million in the fourth quarter, a 1.8% increase when compared to the previous quarter, and a 12.7% increase when compared to the fourth quarter of the previous year. Inteligo's loan portfolio remains stable at $1,700 million in the fourth quarter. Revenues generated by Inteligo reached $63 million, a 7.8% decrease quarter on quarter, but a 35.6% increase year on year. Fee income divided by asset under management remained relatively stable at 0.9% in the fourth quarter. Inteligo's net profit for the fourth quarter was $38 million, while annualized return on adjustment equity was 23.6%. A final remark, since our last conference call, when we already gave an update on the buyback program, Interbank and Inteligo have bought a total of 450,000 IFS shares. This means that as of today, the total number of shares acquired from IFS and its subsidiaries since the launch of the program is 1,892,000 shares. Now, we welcome any questions you may have.
Thank you, ma'am. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key, that is star one, on your touchtone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star two. Again, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. Our first question comes from Guilherme Costa from ITU BBA.
Good morning, everyone. Congratulations on the results, and thank you for the opportunity. This is Guilherme Costa from ITU BBA. I have two questions. The first one is about asset quality. We saw that the NPL ratio of credit card loans increased by 6 bps sequentially, which is a little bit above the deterioration seen in the financial system. Could you give us further details on this asset quality deterioration, if this was only because of the contraction in the credit card loans, or if you saw some deterioration in this portfolio, and what you imagine that the asset quality of credit card loans will behave going forward? Moreover, if you could give us some indication about the asset quality in 2017, if you expect the overall NPL ratio to improve, and what is your expectation for the cost of risk? And then I have my second question.
Okay, thank you very much for your first question. Related to asset quality, as previously mentioned, the 50 basis point increase is mainly related to the decrease in loans, okay, the decrease in volume. Of course, the decrease in volumes is also a result of a process in which we have been following in the past, I would say, more than 12 months of reviewing of our credit underwriting standards and continue to tighten them. If you see the credit card loan growth of Interbank, even on a yearly basis, it has been below the system average. And this is due to the fact that even in 2015, we started to see some deterioration of the portfolio and we started tightening our credit standards. Going forward, and of course this will also be impacted by volume, but we are expecting a slight improvement of the asset quality of credit cards as the result of all the measures we have undertaken in the past months start to have their first impact on credit quality. The second portion of your first question I didn't capture. Was it related to asset quality on commercial banking?
No, the asset quality of the overall bank, Interbank, and also IFS, if you expect an improvement in the overall NPL ratio and in the cost of risk for 2017 for the overall portfolio.
Okay. We have some uncertainty, actually, as to how fast will the economy improve, okay? So basically that is going to have an impact on asset quality and most likely on asset quality of both retail and commercial. We are expecting relatively stable cost of risk for this year, but again there are two factors that will impact that number. First, the cost of risk itself, so the deterioration of the portfolio related to economy improvement, and the second one is going to be volume. We are expecting a slight recovery of the volume growth of the financial system as a whole and of Interbank in 2017, given the very low growth that we have seen last year, okay? But again, this has a certain level of uncertainty. Having said that, cost of risk relatively flat and a slight recovery of volume for 2017.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is about loan growth. You mentioned that you expect some recovery for 2017. Could you indicate a number on how much you expect to grow in 2017, if you expect to beat the market in the loan expansion, and what portfolios should lead the expansion after adjusting the credit card portfolio? Can we saw a higher increase in the credit card loans in 2017?
Related to the loan growth in the financial system, we are foreseeing a slight recovery, as I previously mentioned, so we are thinking of a range between 6 to 8% at system level. What we would like to accomplish is to outbeat this 6 to 8% at system level slightly, so that we could be able to gain some market share, okay? As actually we did last in some of the products. Can you repeat the second portion, please, of the question?
Yes, of course. It was about the composition, the breakdown of this loan growth. Which segments do you believe you will expand faster?
Okay. One of the segments or products that should grow a little bit faster in 2017 should be mortgages, given that last year we had a strong impact coming from the funds coming from private pension funds, now with the possibility to use 25% of your funds to prepay your mortgage, okay? That had a hit, especially on the last 2 months of the year, where there was a strong inflow of people wanting to prepare their debt. So in any case, we've had some of those closed also in January, but lower than last year. And we expect that taking out that effect from 2017, mortgages should grow a little bit faster than 2015. A second product would be credit cards, which actually We expect to grow a little bit more than last year, given that our growth has been very limited. And the second area of growth should be middle-sized and small business companies, that for the system as a whole and for us was actually negative during 2016. So we are expecting 2017 to have positive figures on those volumes.
Okay, perfect. Very clear. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Rivera from Citi.
Hi. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity to ask questions. My first question is regarding OPEX. I mean, during 2016, it was actually declined versus 2015. So if you could give us a little bit more color here, and is this type of growth sustainable? OPEX obviously helped you offset lower revenues. What can we expect for 2017 if revenues were to be on the low side? How low can you go on OPEX growth? Thanks. And I'll ask my second question after.
Okay, and your first question, what we are expecting for 2017 is a slight increase of OPEX, okay? We need to do some investments in order to continue with the development of our digital capabilities, but we are not expecting anything substantially different to what you see in 2016. And this, I would say, specifically goes to Interbank, now where the big portion of the expenses are.
Correct. Okay. All right. Thanks. And for my second question, I mean, during 2016, earnings, excluding the impact of the rates of the technical reserves, were down 6%, and you had an ROE below 20%. What can we expect for 2017? Could you go back to the ROEs of last year, closer to 23-24%, or is that too ambitious? And if you expect an ROE recovery, what would be the main drivers of these in addition to loan growth? You mentioned higher loan growth already, but provisions a little bit stable, OPEX growing a little bit, so just the big picture, wanted to get a call of what's going to be the main drivers of earnings for this year. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your question. First, there are two or actually three extraordinary factors that negatively impacted 2016 and which will not repeat during 2017. One of the ones we mentioned, were related to Interseguro. One was related to the loss on sale of some investments, okay? And the second one related to the decrease of the premiums year on year due to the new law, no? Now, we're not expecting any of those two things. And the third factor is, which we discredit Interbank, no, with a decrease of 200 million of the FX gains, which was really a big hit last year, and which we do not expect to repeat this year. No? So this is the first portion, which is related to a lower base, which should not impact 2017. So I think basically starting from there, we should have a better increase of income for 2017. And the level of ROE we are expecting in any case stays at the low 20%.
Okay. And just a clarification on the FX gain. Do you see the new level, which is lower, as a sustainable kind of more normalized level, or should we expect some growth from this point of 2016?
Slightly stable, actually, I would say.
Okay. Thank you very much, Micaela.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alonso Arumbu from BTG.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. Micaela, can you give us a sense of how to think about your funding costs and your margins for this year? Do you need to replace central bank funding, and how do you plan to do that, and what do you think the impact on funding costs would be?
Okay. Thanks for the question, Alonso. In year 2015, we were a little bit concerned about SOLES funding, okay? What happened during 2016 is that given on one side the low loan growth, and on the other side the strong performance we've had on the deposit growth in SOLES, okay, We've been able during 2016 to decrease the total size of our funds with the central bank. Okay? Yes, in 2017 we have some maturities of central bank funds, and we expect to maybe renew some of them, but as a smaller portion, and we intend to continue to pursue our strategy with deposits and to fund a big portion of our growth in loans, which again is not going to be that big, okay, with the growth in deposits. So basically, we are not foreseeing a strong increase in cost of funds, as we have not seen during 2016. Actually, if you have a look and you compare the growth of the financial expenses of the bank, is one of the lowest when you compare us with the four big banks, and we expect to continue to do the same this year. And in terms of mini, again there, because of the different mix in the portfolio, higher growth in mid and small companies, recovery of credit cards, what we're expecting for 2017 is a kind of stable NIM also for this year.
Okay, thank you for that. And a second question, going back to cost of risk and provisions. And this quarter, the increase in provisions was driven apparently by commercial loans. Is that something that we should continue to see in the short term? And can you give us a little color exactly what are these commercial loans that are driving these higher provisions?
Yes. Actually, what we've seen this quarter, and you see it, is a little bit more dramatic in IFRS figures when you compare it to the local GAAP figures, is that even within performing loans, when you change your classification from the first category to the second one, the level of provisions that are required for IFRS are much bigger than the ones in local GAAP. This is why you see a stronger hit in IFRS figures. This has been related especially to some few real estate clients, okay? And actually, we have seen also during the year 2016 some deterioration in some middle market companies. And again, depending on the economy of the recovery of the economy, we could see some of that in 2017. Also, especially due to the fact that the volume, again, in this specific segment of middle-sized company decreased during 2016, okay? We are not expecting that in 2017, but again, it will depend on the picking up of the economy.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sebastian Galigo from Credicorp.
You mentioned in previous answers that there is uncertainty about the economy, and I'm just wondering how do you see the execution risk coming from key projects in Peru this year, and how this might affect the economy during 2017. And a follow up on that is you provided a GDP growth of 3% to 4%, and that range seems a bit wide. Would you say that there are more downside risks, or there are more upside risks to those figures? Thank you. I will ask my following questions after that.
Hi. Thanks for your question. It's Luis Felipe. Yeah, actually, we particularly gave a wide range because there's some uncertainty right now, as mentioned. No, what's going to happen with El Nino, the rain that was not expected, the white cost. And then the real impact on what is the public investment and the confidence in the private sector result of all these that we're living right now in terms of the projects, infrastructure projects that are needed that have been delayed at least for reasons that are well known and publicly available information. So that's the reason, and probably the risk is more on the downside. No, the government sticks to around 4%. I think they saw a good January, they're expecting a good January of around 5%. But nevertheless, it's a moment with some uncertainty on the economic front right now, and it's obviously a concern, no, because we were betting on 2017 of being a better year
than last year, and if that does not materialize, then economic activity will remain very slow.
Okay, thank you. My second question is related also to NIM. I know you mentioned in previous answers that you expect a stable NIM, but how do you expect your loan mix to evolve during 2017 as we saw a quarterly negative growth on the consumer side? Would you say that commercial loan book could gain further share in the loan mix this year?
As Steven mentioned, there are different factors that will impact the portfolio mix in 2017. Within the commercial loan book, we expect a recovery of mid-size and small businesses, as we have seen a decrease of the volumes during 2016. Actually, January has already been a month in which we have increased loans in mid-size companies. And as far as the small businesses are concerned, we've seen already 4 to 5 months of continued growth in volumes, okay? It's just that when you look at the overall full year last year, you still see a decrease. So the first portion of improving, if you want, NIM should come from higher yield within the commercial portfolio. And the second part is the recovery throughout the year. Maybe it's going to be a little bit stronger in the second semester of the year. But for example, we continue to see growth in the personal loans, in which we still have a very low market share, and that we have continued to increase market share during the past 2 years, together with the increase in the payroll of private clients. Let me just add one comment. In any case, we are aiming at, roughly speaking, at a 50-50% composition of our portfolio. No, we normally stand between 52-48, depending on who grows a little bit more. But what we have in mind is to always be close to the 50% contribution of retail and commercial to the overall loan portfolio.
Thank you. That's very helpful. And my last question goes to Interseguro. You mentioned at the very beginning of your call that there are a ton of opportunities ahead for this market after the law had a negative impact on premiums. Can you comment on those main opportunities that you see on this market and how what kind of growth should we expect in terms of premiums during this year? Thank you so much.
I'm going to pass it to Juan Pablo Seguro, which is here with me, CFO of Interseguro.
So we see basically on the top line two big opportunities. One related to the retail insurance business. So we have around a 220 million net premium business full year on retail. We utilize, of course, the inner core channel to commercialize these insurances. And these are picking up in 2016. They grew double digits, and we expect that to accelerate in this year, in 2017. In terms of the annuity business, we think about the annuity business in two ways, the regulatory one and the private type of annuities. The regulatory one, we think it's going to be flat for 2017, and the market share we're going to have in 2017 should be around the same as 2016. So we shouldn't be expecting on the regulatory side of the product to have a huge growth. But the new products that we've launched of annuities that are private annuities, so those are the retirees that will buy an annuity after they have take out all of their cash from their retirement funds. Those are growing big in Interseguro. We've seen a a good performance in the last quarter, and we think 2017 will be a good year where more than 10% of the annuities will be sold that way. So those are the two main opportunities in the top line.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Joshua from Vega from Intra.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my question. I have actually two questions. The first one is, can you repeat the buyback program status and if you are considering to extend it? And the second one is, if you have discussed about the hiring of a market maker in order to increase the liquidity of the stock. Thank you.
So hi, it's Felipe. As mentioned by Michela, we have in total in the portfolio of IFS subsidiaries 1.8 million shares. And as similarly to when we launched, this is going to be opportunistic, very opportunistic way. So it remains open. And the second part of your question was market maker. That's under evaluation, still under evaluation right now.
Okay, thank you.
We have not taken a decision.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Luis Adima from Newfoundland Capital Management.
Hi, good morning, everyone. On the Interseguro discount rate impact, could you maybe go over the main drivers? What is the main variable to monitor here? It seems counterintuitive to me that, you know, rates have gone up significantly in the fourth quarter all over Latin America, and you had a positive discount rate impact here.
Hi, Luis. This is Juan Pablo from Interseguro. As the yields in our portfolios go up, the technical reserve needed in our balance sheet go down, no? And that gives us a positive impact in our P&L. So that's what happened in Q4. We saw 20 basis points of higher yields in Q4, and that explained the 100 million impact in Q4. It's a difficult variable to track and do a forward-looking statement on it. In Q1, we've already seen yields go down again, which might have a negative impact for Q1 in technical reserves and in the P&L. But that impact is going to be as volatile as the yields are in the market. And as of today, we see those could go either way. No, they could go up again by the end of Q1, or they could continue to decline.
So this is the impact of Peruvian yields on your liabilities. Strictly on your liabilities.
No, that's the yield of our portfolio. Okay. Now, it's important that you see this impact also in our equity from what happened with our assets. As yields go up, yes, technical reserve needed are lower, and you have a positive impact in the P&L. But as yields go up, the bond prices we have in our portfolio go down too. And that has a negative impact in our equity. And that impact doesn't go to P&L. So you have to see both sides of the equation to see the real economic impact for the company.
Perfect. Makes a lot of sense. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Adriana Delazota from Scotiabank.
Hi, this is Jason Mullen here with Adriana. Our question is on your deposits and a little bit on funding. Deposits in the system didn't grow that much in 2016. Your deposits grew about 3.9% year on year below nominal GDP. We did see the mix. We saw an improvement with retail deposits growing faster than commercial. But you did gain share, which I thought was interesting, 50 basis points. If you can talk about the funding market, the deposit market, and where you see deposits growing relative to loans, and if in particular we could see local currency growing faster than dollar deposits in 2017. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question. Related to the growth in deposits, specifically for retail at Interbank, this is something that if you have a look at the past 3 to 4 years, we've been pursuing with a very focused strategy, okay? Year after year, we've been gaining slightly market share there, and this has to do a lot with the value proposition of Interbank, which stands with convenience and reach of the network. Before that, there was a little bit less of a focus in the bank network with deposits. We did many different things, among which changing a little bit the incentive scheme on the branch network in order to foster new deposits coming from retail, and this is what we've been pursuing in the past year. When we have a look on what happened during 2016, we had a dollarization of deposit at the end of 2015, if you remember when the exchange rate started to pick up. But after, when it started to stabilize last year, funds started to switch back to solid again. So when we have a look at the currency mix of our retail deposit base, we've been able to grow faster in solid than in deposits. This is why also it has helped the cost of funding of the banks. What do we expect going forward? Well, that will depend a lot also on the exchange rate. But if we stay with the tendency of relatively stable exchange rate and low exchange rate, and we have just a slight devaluation of the sol, we expect that the funds of deposits in solid, especially in retail, will continue to grow faster than solid, at least for Interbank, and that should continue to help cost of funds for the bank. I'm not sure whether this answers all of your questions.
What is the spread between the cost of funding on your deposits in soles versus dollars today, and how has that evolved? But what are you
okay?
Deposits versus on dollar, and has that changed? Are you attracting deposits by offering is it the premium over dollar that's attracting the deposits? Is it a premium versus your competition?
No, it's a premium versus dollar, actually. I mean, if you see the average rates on dollar, we're talking about 0.5%. If you see the average rates on solid, you're talking about 2.5%. No, and then, of course, if you see time deposits versus current account, they are very different. But in time deposits, you could also talk about 5% in solid, no, for 1 year, for example.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is Luis Felipe, and if you understand our strategy well, we could not compete in price for deposits. As Michela mentioned, it's all about value proposition, convenience, being close to customer, CRM, commercial campaigns, being very active in reaching and understanding our customers. That's the way we've been growing those in years.
But to help us understand a little better with this higher funding cost, of course, you don't have the mismatch, and you want to match your funding to your asset base, but if you're increasing the soles deposits, you're paying, obviously, for the obvious reasons, the cost is higher. So I'm not sure, I would understand on margins, if you're trying to fund with lower cost deposits, that your margins could go up, but I'm not sure I understand the cost of funding going down if you're switching into soles.
Actually, when you have a look at the average cost of funding in the fourth quarter of 2016 was 2.8%, and in the fourth quarter of 2015 it was 2.7%, so it increased during 2016 mainly due to what you're referring to, no? The mix of more solid versus salt. But what I was referring to is that we have been able to limit that growth, okay, when you compare the increase in financial expenses of Interbank and of cost of funding, it has been slightly better than our competitors because of the increased share of retail deposits in soles, no? If you have a look at slide number 10, retail deposits account for 32% of our total funding base in the fourth quarter, and it has been growing, no? In the fourth quarter of the previous year, it was 29%. So overall, the mix of deposits that we have has improved the quality of our funding base, if you want.
Thank you very much. It's very clear.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jose Rinelli from Portfolio.
Good morning. Thank you for your time and for the opportunity to ask questions. I have two questions. One is that on December of this year, there was a modification of the corporate income tax law. And do you see any benefits on your balance sheet from this law? And my second question, I will ask it later.
Hi, hello, and thank you for your question. What we've seen last year due to the modification of the tax law is that there was a positive impact because of different taxes that positively impacted the 2016 results. But then going forward, this year, 2017, we have higher taxes, so that actually is going to negatively impact our results. Then at the end of the day, we have also seen a decrease in the tax related to dividends. At overall IFF level, I mean, there is no impact. No one washes with the other.
Thank you very much for your answer. And my second question is regarding the return on assets and equity for the upcoming year. We see that this year it was on 17.4. Do you see any recoveries for the next year? And do you expect how long do you expect it until you recover from previous levels?
In terms of ROE, as previously mentioned, we are expected to be in the low 20s, okay? And in terms of ROA, yes, we should see a recovery because, again, in this ROA, we have some of the negative impacts that we previously mentioned, not related to income. For example, the FX part of the bank is also impacted this decrease from 2.8% in 2015 to 1.7% in 2016. So I cannot give you an exact number, but we should see a slight recovery of it.
But you see that it will be below 20 for 2017, or it will be above?
You're talking about ROE now?
Mm-hmm. If you don't see above 20%.
No. We are targeting at least 20%.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you once again. We will now hold for questions. Please press *1 if you would like to ask a question. Again, that is *1 if you would like to ask a question. At this time, I am showing no further questions in the queue. I would now like to turn the call back over to Ms. Casassa for closing remarks.
Okay, just to say thank you, everybody, for joining our call, and we'll hear each other again during our next quarter results. Bye to everybody.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.